Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. Things are heating up in the Delphi case. The court set some rules for the Chad Daybell trial starting in a couple weeks and our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it.
All right, lawyer. Lawyer.
Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for joining us. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment below. And remember to hit that little bell for notifications. And you can always listen to us anytime on your favorite podcasting app. So as I told you last week, my three-week trial may now be turned into a four-week trial because things are a little behind schedule. Swell. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting a little tired. I don't think I've had a day off in about, 6 weeks. Anyway, not your concern, but we thought we'd have a, we'd do a quick show today because we didn't start until 12:30 because the court was doing her morning docket. So let's get to it. So before today's hearing on the Delphi case surrounding the contempt of court claims, they're expected to begin in Fort Wayne, Indiana. A series of motions were filed on Sunday by both the prosecution and the defense, which could impact how Richard Allen's murder trial moves forward. As you know, Richard Allen is accused of killing Abby Williams and Libby German after their bodies were found near the Monon High Bridge in Delphi, Indiana, back in February of 2017. Now, there's been a lot going on surrounding a date for the trial, as well as other legal and related matters. Allen's trial is expected to start in mid-May in Carroll County, Indiana. And on Sunday afternoon, Allen's defense team amended its motion from a motion that filed previously, which claimed that the Carroll County prosecutor, Nicholas McClelland, is withholding information surrounding the case. Now, the information includes two updated reports allegedly never seen by the defense, which explain how video interviews in 2017 were lost or went missing or did not contain any audio. The report also reportedly contains information about reported attempts to recover the lost interviews through purchasing equipment. And however, apparently in this report, the motion cites that it is unknown whether the equipment that they were looking to purchase was ever in fact purchased or whether they actually intended or attempted to do anything. The defense is also asking the court to require the state of Indiana to answer if there is a photo dump of evidence to further determine timelines in this case, as well as all geofencing data that they considered. Now, this comes after the state of Indiana previously claimed that no phone dump evidence in the case existed from certain witnesses. There's a distinction there, from all witnesses, from some witnesses. In the state's response, they say that all discovery and exculpatory information in the state's possession has been provided to the defense. Ultimately, the state is asking the court to dismiss the defense's request without a hearing, and the state argues that it is not required to hand over every lead and inquiry during this 6-plus-year investigation as part of the discovery process, much of which is neither relevant nor related to the state of Indiana versus Richard Allen. However, the state has gone above and beyond the requirements in the discovery that they have provided, and when additional information is received, the state will forward it to the defense. Well, I would tend to differ. I think if you have information that is related to the case, you have to turn it over. But hey, that's why we have hearings on discovery issues. Anyway, in the state's response, they also state that the defense mischaracterized information related to the involvement of the Purdue professor, claiming that the homicides were tied to the occult. Now, the state said that the professor said that the defense had mischaracterized the opinions he brought forward in the report. And then a number of other filings related to the Allen trial were also filed with the court as well. Now, Allen's defense team is requesting that the court provide parity in the investigation and presentation in the upcoming trial to balance the scales of justice. This includes, per the defense, the exclusion of certain pieces of evidence since the defense claims they have not had the funds to properly investigate them. The team is requesting that the defense team be approved for necessary expected expenses for the team to defend Allen at trial. The team is asking for the state's prosecutors to pay out of their personal finances for investigative services, evidence processing, and expert fees. The defense claims that they have not received any help in funding to obtain expert assistance to investigate three pieces of evidence within the trial: the bullet found at the crime scene, the digital data collected by law enforcement, and Allen's alleged confession. The defense notes in their filings, quote, this court should reconsider the denial of funds for defense investigative and expert expenses, the motion said. Alternatively, the court should exclude at trial any testimony or evidence related to the bullet, the digital data, Allen's purported confession, and the cause, manner, and timing of the deaths of the children. Finally, they argue that if a denial of the defense request remains and the state is allowed to proffer testimony of the critical evidence, the only truly equitable relief would be for the court or the prosecutor to pay for an expert for investigative services from this point forwards out of their own budgets. The state also filed two documents on Sunday saying that first, the state requests that the court enter a protective order surrounding evidence and testimony gathered from the Indiana Department of Corrections. The state claims that the defense has not recorded what evidence or testimony they plan to elicit from the department that would be relevant in the case, and the state is asking the court to consider limiting questions involving the Indiana Department of Corrections to their direct interaction with Mr. Allen, claiming that the time Allen spent at the Westerville Correctional Facility is not relevant to this proceeding, except his own actions and statements while being housed in DOC. As you may recall, Allen's defense has claimed multiple times of mistreatment at various correctional facilities, and Allen was moved from the Westville Correctional Facility to the Wabash Valley Correctional Facility back in December of 2023. They cite in the motion there are articulable concerns based upon prior behavior. The defense counsel will release information to the media that could publicly embarrass the Indiana Department of Corrections or further place its employees in danger or subject them to ridicule or harassment, the government states. And the state's legal team also notified the court that it had turned over a supplemental witness and exhibit list to the defense. The list outlines the witnesses the state could possibly call and the potential exhibits that they intend to use at trial. And of course, they put in the standard language that they can obviously supplement these before trial. Now, in a previous motion, Gall blocked off May 13th through May 31st for the trial. The jury selection is expected to begin in Allen County, and the jurors and the alternate will then travel to Carroll County for the trial. Things are heating up. It's interesting because obviously Richard Allen's attorneys are court appointed. They have to ask the court for funding. The court already hates the defense attorneys. In fact, she kicked them off the case and then they're back on the case. Certainly not what she wanted, but she can certainly engage in the harassment package. Oh, not going to give you any money for that. Oh, I'm going to be slow walking your bills so that you don't get to make your payroll, pay your bills. It's called the harassment package, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, it's going to get interesting. It's going to be a very interesting trial. Speaking of interesting trials, the Chad Daybell trial is coming up, and the judge, Judge Boyce, issued a series of orders last week as the start date of the trial for Chad Daybell for the murders of two of his wife's children, and his wife, Tammy, is rapidly approaching. Now, the trial is scheduled to begin in April 1st in Ada County, where Lori Vallow's trial took place last year. And obviously, Lori Vallow was convicted, and she was sentenced to three consecutive life sentences. And now she awaits a trial in Arizona for conspiracy charges in the murder of her fourth husband, Charles Vallow, and the attempted murder of her niece's ex-husband, Brandon Boudreau. So the court issued an order saying that they will close and seal some of the voir dire, or the jury selection process. The court noted in its order, the court finds that the portions of the jury voir dire, particularly individualized questioning of jurors, will be so probing that it could frustrate the purpose of questioning by publicly disclosing such sensitive information of prospective jurors. The judge wrote that individual questioning of jurors outside the presence of other jurors, potential jurors, would be closed to the public. That's normally what takes place. Obviously, you have the general panel of jurors that you talk to. Sometimes jurors will want to let the court and the parties know of something that they don't want to share with the rest of the public. So you go back into chambers or a jury room, and the court reporter's there, the defendant's there, all the attorneys are there, and they disclose maybe why this is not a good trial for them. Normally, if it's is a situation where they've been a victim of a very similar crime. Like I said, you usually see this in sexual assault trials. Recently had a case where we went through 70 potential jurors, ladies and gentlemen. We had 100. We got rid of 70 for cause. So, but most of that took place back in chambers where people are saying, this isn't the right case for me. I have been the victim of that particular case. Anyway, the other portions of the jurors being questioned will be open to the public based on available seating, and no audio or video recording of the potential jurors will be allowed. So once we have a jury, then we will begin the actual trial and we will bring it. And finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. Police in Nebraska say that for 6 months, one woman exploited a glitch via her rewards card that scored her $28,000 in gasoline for free. Well, it's not really free if you're not authorized to take it. That's called theft. Anyway, police say that a software update at the pumps at Lincoln's Pump and Pantry allowed patrons to swipe their reward card twice to throw the pump into a demo mode, which then allowed them to pump gas for free. The station eventually figured it out and figured out that the one card in particular had been used. Police say it was used more than 500 times between November 22nd and the following June, at which point the station fixed the glitch. How many gallons did she pump? 7,413 gallons on that one rewards card. It's a lot of gas, totaling $27,800. Anyway, the woman has been identified as Dawn Thompson, who police say also charged a second person $500 to pump about $700 worth of gas on her card. Ms. Thompson was arrested Wednesday of last week and charged with felony theft with a bond of $750. She's scheduled for court on April 11th. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not free, even if you think it's free. You were not authorized to take the thing of value, therefore it's theft. So, Ms. Thompson, you are our dumb criminal of the day. I'm sure no matter what you thought of that free gas, probably not going to be worth the pain and suffering and inconvenience that comes with that free gas now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep you updated as to my schedule. I apologize in advance. I just have to take care of my obligations to my clients before we can do this. But I was very much appreciative of people that said, hey, Scott, if you jump in and do this full time, yes, we would be there for you. So appreciate that. Love you all. Anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. And remember, yes, the Constitution, it does matter.